This is My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the Circa Resort and Casino. It is My Guys in the Desert. Femi Abebefe filling in for Stormy Bonantoni. She will be back with us tomorrow. Of course, it's a fantastic Tuesday afternoon, and we've got a great show for you guys on tap. At 2:45, Adam Kramer, VSiN's college football writer, to talk Week 15 Army-Navy, plus a little early preview of the college football playoff bowl games, the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl. Then at 2:30, Johnny Avello, the DraftKings Sportsbook Director, joining us at 2:30. Like I mentioned here, we'll see what's going on behind the window. Any early action Week 14 in the National Football League. And at 2:15, Ariel Epstein of Yahoo Sportsbook Analyst. She comes on. She's the prop queen, so she's got an NBA prop for us, plus some early plays in Week 14. And a little in about a matter of moments, Trey Wingo, the Caesars Sportsbook Ambassador, joining us to talk all things National Football League. But first, before we get into all of that, we got to recap what we saw last night on Monday Night Football. The Patriots defeating the Buffalo Bills 14-10. New England wins as an 3-point underdog outright. Game goes well under the total of 40. 18 points scored in the first half, just 6 points in the second half. Buffalo had a couple trips inside the red zone late, but came up empty. The Patriots' defense was absolutely stellar, allowing just 230 total yards to that Bills' high-powered offensive attack. The Pats' offense, they ran the ball 46 times compared to just 3 passes. Mac Jones, 2 for 3 for 19 yards. This tweet, I saw this earlier from James Palmer of NFL Network. The Patriots are the first team to win a game with fewer than 3 completions since the Broncos did it in Week 11 over the Chiefs. 17-10, they got that victory back in 2011. Just incredible to see that type of game played out last night. New England, though, more importantly, now has a 1.5 game lead in the AFC East Division. At DraftKings, they're minus 265 to win the division. The Bills now plus 190. Patriots are the favorite to be the number one seed at DK as well. They are plus 150, while the Chiefs are plus 250 and Titans 3-1. So joining us now is Trey Wingo, the Caesars Sportsbook Ambassador, and also the host of the Half Forgotten History podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Wingos. That's Wingo with a Z at the end. Trey, appreciate you joining us here on My Guys in the Desert. I just listed off some of the odds for the number one seed at DraftKings in the AFC, and that's where I want to start here. Patriots plus 150, Chiefs plus 250, Titans 3-1, Ravens 7-1. Where would you put your money in terms of who you think will be the number one seed in the AFC?
Well, first, great to be with you guys, and always good to be with you on behalf of Caesars and the Sportsbook app there. It's tough, right? I mean, here are the longest winning streaks right now in football. The Patriots have won 7 straight, the Chiefs have won 5 straight, and the Dolphins have won 5 straight. We can get to the Dolphins in a minute, because I think they're going to be a fascinating discussion down the stretch of the season, the way they're playing. But right now, I would still probably lean toward Kansas City, although, look, what's so weird about the 17-game schedule is that most teams still have 5 or 6 games to play. Mm-hmm. And we're in the second week of December. So, or the first, you know, almost the second week of December. There's so much of the season left. Normally we're taking up these last few weeks here and playoff seeding. Literally, we have almost a third of the season still in front of us. So much is going to be decided over the next 5 weeks. It's just incredible.
Well, what was your biggest takeaway from what we saw last Sunday and Monday in Week 13?
Let's start with the most recent thing last night, is that, you know, Bill Belichick has a philosophy that he's done his entire career, and it's very simple. He says, most games are lost instead of won. Let's not make the mistakes that are going to beat us, and let's execute and let the other team make the mistakes. And outside of the muff punt by N'Keal Harry, where the wind was just all over the place and just skimmed off his helmet, mm-hmm. You know, the Patriots, for the most part, were mistake-free. And they just it was a close game. It was 14-10. I understand that. But, you know, the Bills' rush defense was 6th best in the NFL. 6th best, giving up just about 96 yards per game on the ground. And the Patriots were like, don't care. That's how we have to win this game. We're not going to throw it all over the field. We're not going to do that. And they just gashed him right up the middle. Time and time again, the thing that Bill is so impressive with is that he doesn't want to find a way to win every week. He just wants to find a way to win this week. And knowing the weather and knowing what was going on and knowing how they play, he's like, look, I'm not gonna put this thing up in the air and bring in some odds that might not be in our favor. We have a good running game. We have a good defense. Let's stick to what we know, and I think we can out-physical them, and that's exactly what happened last night.
Yeah, we're speaking with Trey Wingo, Caesars Sportsbook Ambassador and host of the Half Forgotten History podcast. You've mentioned New England. They're minus 265 to win the AFC East. I don't want to say it's a lock, but they have the upper hand clearly on Buffalo with a game-and-a-half lead, and they get the Bills in Foxborough in a couple weeks. But are there any sleepers to win other divisions, whether it be in the AFC or NFC, that you're seeing right now with 5 weeks to go?
Well, I tell you this. The Cowboys better hope they didn't mess around too much, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be a factor. And the final game of the year for the NFC East is the Dallas Cowboys in Philadelphia in January. And the other quirk about the Cowboys schedule here, and I know they're 8-4, and you know they had a big win over the Saints on the road with, you know, Mike McCarthy out, and Dan Quinn did a great job, but they've kind of messed around on a couple of that Raiders game. They never should have lost. They sort of screwed that one up. They were completely flat against the Chiefs. They had a couple of the Denver game is somewhat unexplainable, even though Denver has a pretty good defense. But, you know, you can't imagine that they're going to be shut out until the final 2 minutes of the quarter.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have five games remaining. Four of them are division games. They've only played two division games. They played the Eagles in Dallas, and they played the Giants in Dallas. Now, the Giants thing is somewhat mitigated because we have no idea if Daniel Jones is going to see the field again this year. But they're going to have to play the Washington football team twice. And I don't know if the Washington football team is any good, but I know they compete like hell. And Taylor Heineke is like Gardner Minshew light, for lack of a better term. And they spill their guts every week for Ron Rivera. They love that guy, and he loves that team. They're going to be a tough out. And the Eagles, with the way they work with Jalen, and we saw what Gardner Minshew can do in a pinch-hit situation, the Cowboys might – that last game of the season might mean much more than they hoped it would mean when they have to go to Philadelphia in January.
Yeah, I think that's a game that a lot of people are thinking that Dallas could be resting. They'll have it all locked up. But like you said, it's a lot still left to be decided in that NFC East division. So let's go with that game between the Cowboys and the Washington football team. Right now, the Cowboys 4-point favorites, but some spots here in Vegas, I'm seeing 3.5 total sitting at 48. And the money early on in the week is leaning towards Washington. Is that where you would go with your money? Or do you think that Dallas can kind of finally look impressive or more impressive than they've looked over the last few weeks?
Look, Dallas has a better team, okay? I think we can all agree with that. You can line up, and they're getting healthy for the first time. The game against the Saints was the first time all year that essentially all their starters had been on the field because Zach Martin missed the first game of the year in Tampa with an injury. So they had Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Tank Lawrence. They had everybody on the field for the first time. And getting healthy at a very – very late in the season is such a bonus. And, you know, it's why the Saints are mired in such a five-game losing streak. They can't get anybody healthy. They can't get their tackles on the field. They can't get Kamara on the field. And obviously they haven't won a game without their starting quarterback, Jameis Winston. So health is such an integral part of this thing right now. But if you look at the lineups, there's not one person that would say, oh, yeah, Washington has the better personnel. Washington has the better team. But they've won four straight games. You know, outside of those winning streaks that I've talked about, they're the next one. The football team has won four straight games in just a variety of weird, wonderful, ugly, gutty ways. Dallas has more talent, but I'm not sure that Washington doesn't have more heart at this point. And at this point of the season, sometimes heart matters more than anything.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating game, kicking off 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time between the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington football team. The afternoon game, kind of the premier late window game, is between the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a few weeks ago, we all thought that this could be a Super Bowl preview. Now, the Bills are 7-5, a game and a half back in their own division. They're 3-point underdogs, some places 3.5-point underdogs on the road in Tampa, total 52.5. Is it time to panic with the Bills, or do you think they can bounce back in this spot?
I think it might be time. I mean, I've been giving them excuses, you know, not excuses. I've been saying, okay, and everybody can have a bad game. You know, the Josh Allen beat Josh Allen game was certainly a bizarre one. But since they started 4-1, they're now 3-4. And they put up some real clunkers on offense. Like, for example, last night, okay? I get it. You're not going to throw a lot. But why don't you put in more designed offensive runs with your quarterback who's 6'5", 250 pounds, and is strong and agile? I didn't see enough designed runs for Josh Allen in that offense last night. I mean, I think it would have really helped them if they had put some more of those in the game plan against New England and make them defend him in a different way. The offense, there are real offensive problems right now for the Buffalo Bills. And the difference between, go look at the numbers between Tom Brady at home versus Tom Brady on the road. They're astounding. I mean, he is so much, I think he's thrown 20 or 21 of his touchdown passes at home and only 3 interceptions, as opposed to, I think, 9 and 11. On the road, or 9-8 on the road. The split is remarkable. He is a different team. They are a different team at home, and the Bills are a little shattered and battered right now. I mean, there's a lot of frustration in the postgame press conference last night with asking what I thought was a ridiculous question. the way he phrased that. You go in there with that question to get a reaction. Yeah. You're not going there to report. You want to stick the needle in somebody, and I thought the players handled it about as well as they could, but. They're on edge right now, okay? They were everybody's number one favorite, and a lot of people thought they were going to take over Kansas City and be the king of the AFC. Well, I hope they enjoyed that 1 year, because it certainly looks like New England is back and they're not going anywhere for a while. And Buffalo's teetering on the brink right now. If they get blown out in Tampa, then we have to talk about a real possibility that Buffalo might not make the playoffs. Might not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm looking at DraftKings right now, plus 330 to miss the playoffs. He is Trey Wingo, the Caesars Sportsbook Ambassador. Thank you, Trey, for joining us here on My Guys in the Desert. On the other side, Ariel Epstein of Yahoo to talk NBA props and NFL Week 14.
Listen to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This segment of My Guys in the Desert is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It is My Guys in the Desert rolling along from the Circa Resort and Casino here in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Ebebefe in for Stormy Bonantoni. And joining us now, we have royalty in our presence. She goes by the prop queen, Ariel Epstein of Yahoo Sportsbook, analyst, joining us here on My Guys in the Desert. You can follow her on Twitter at Ariel Epstein. Ariel, appreciate you. First time we're doing this here over the air, so thank you for joining us once again. I want to start with the big game next week between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills 3-point underdogs, 3.5 in some places, total in the low 50s. Where do you see the value, whether it be on the side or the total?
The value is on the side. The side that I already bet in this game, I laid the 3 points with Tampa Bay. I laid this before the Bills lost last night, solely because I thought maybe there's the chance that this could move to 3.5 if Buffalo lost. The line never moved, which is a little fishy. The thing is, I look to all the home games this year for Tampa Bay. They've been winning their games by at least 20 points when playing in Tampa. Also, the Bucs don't have anybody important to face after this. All they have to do is try to win out after this big game against Buffalo. They get the Saints, the Panthers, the Jets, the Panthers. Tampa Bay knows when looking ahead, this is the last big game that could help them potentially clinch that home field advantage in the NFC.
Yeah, the Bucs right now are the favorite to come out of the NFC there, and rightfully so. You just listed off the schedule. They'll be heavily favored in a lot of games coming up down the stretch. Now, you have plays involving all 4 AFC North teams this week, so I want to get to those in just a bit. But just from an AFC North division standpoint, who's the best bet to win this division? The Ravens are minus 150, Bengals plus 225, Browns plus 650, and the Steelers are 14-1, those odds courtesy of DraftKings. But who would be your best bet to come out of that division on top?
Oh, see, it's funny. I didn't realize that I had plays on all the teams, but thinking about it, you're absolutely right. The team to win it is not the Ravens, considering there's no value at minus 150. Plus, Baltimore has no cornerbacks left. Their secondary's already been beat up with the loss of Marcus Peters. Now they lose another corner in Marlon Humphreys. I would probably go with Cincinnati as the value play solely because offensively, they've had the weapons to be able to chop up at a lot of these banged-up defenses. The Browns aren't a bad option. I just don't worry too much about Baker Mayfield, their quarterback. I would say go with the Bengals if you want to play a value play in the AFC North. This thing's going to be crazy. The Ravens have to face the Browns again this week. They have to face the Steelers again later in the at the end of the year. The Ravens have a really tough schedule down the stretch, including the Green Bay Packers. There is value in the AFC North for someone other than the Ravens to win it. I'm a diehard Ravens fan. I hate saying that. I hedge my happiness. I would have to go with the Bengals being able to slice and dice all the defenses in the AFC North with players like Joe Mixon at running back and T. Higgins at wide receiver. They've got the weapons offensively as long as they can keep their quarterback, Joe Burrow, upright with that terrible offensive line.
Yeah, you mentioned, I was going to say, it looks like you're hedging your happiness a little bit, the emotional hedge, fading the Bengals, or rather fading the Ravens, I should say, in the AFC North. But let's start with the Bengals there. 49ers and the Bengals, you have a play in this one. Cincinnati, 1-point favorites with a total of 48.5. Who do you like in this game?
Again, I don't love the line movement. However, CLV has never gone in my favor anyway this year. I'm taking the Bengals at -1. I love Cincinnati in this spot because they're the fifth best defense against running backs. That's where the 49ers excel with their running back Elijah Mitchell. The reason I would have flip-flopped on this bet and gone with the 49ers if their wide receiver Deebo Samuel plays is because he can add the element that the Bengals can't handle. That's pass-catching running backs. Although Samuel's a wide receiver, he's been one of the best running backs in football this year, especially when it comes to catching balls out of the backfield. The Bengals allowed the fourth most receiving yards to pass-catching running backs this year, and that's where San Francisco just won't be able to attack if Samuel's out this week. Bengals have the edge here, and San Francisco's better against the pass than they are against the run. Again, with Joe Mixon, he can run the ball all over the 49ers.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's pinky in that game. We'll see how he's going to play, but we'll see how he's able to deal with that pain. It looked like he was grimacing quite a bit when they were taking on the Chargers last Sunday. Thursday night football, it might be an elimination game, Thursday night football. The Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Twin Cities to take on the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings 3-point favorites, total 43.5. Which side do you like and why?
I like Minnesota at -3.5. This could be because I'm a little mad at the Steelers, but we'll just pretend this has an analysis. No, I'm just kidding. I do like the Vikings. It's a tough spot for the Steelers. First of all, their quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has to go on the road on a short week. Since 2018, Big Ben is actually 2-4 when playing in primetime on the road. Straight up, not against the spread, straight up. Also, the Steelers allow the fifth most rushing yards to running backs. Minnesota, whether it's Dalvin Cook or Alexander Mattison, both these running backs can do it all. They can catch balls out of the backfield. They can also run with it. And since that's where the Steelers struggle, well, I can't trust the other end of it where the Steelers could take advantage of Minnesota's bad pass defense who allow the third most passing yards per game. However, do I really trust Big Ben on a short week who has a pec and a shoulder injury having about 3 days to practice? I don't trust them to be able to attack Minnesota's to attack them with the deep ball. I'm going to say that the Vikings have a better shot at attacking the Steelers defense than the Steelers do at attacking the Vikings defense. I'm going with the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point there with Ben coming off of the short week. And it's such a buy low spot on Minnesota as well.
It was such an emotional game, too, for the Steelers. Yep. Solely because did you see at the end of the game, all the coaches and players were running up to Big Ben, who was on his knee. It looked like he was crying because it was going to be the last home game in Heinz Field that he had against the Ravens.
Yeah, no, it was. You can tell that they emptied the tank to win that game and effectively saved their season as they try to make the playoffs here under Mike Tomlin. Browns Ravens, the other side of that Ravens Steelers rivalry. This Browns Ravens is kind of a fascinating schedule quirk there with Cleveland. They're playing Baltimore for the second time in 3 weeks, but they have that bye week in the middle here. Ravens, of course, coming off of the physical matchup that we saw last Sunday. Who do you think has the edge in this matchup between Cleveland and Baltimore?
Cleveland has the edge, no doubt. I love how you phrased it. Interesting. No, it's not interesting. It's fishy. The NFL allowed for the Browns' whole season to revolve around beating the Ravens. You get the Ravens, you get a bye, you get the Ravens. Who do you put in between that for the Ravens? You put the Steelers. This is just ridiculous. The Browns minus 2.5 is the play. I know it's hedging my happiness again. However, not only did the Ravens just lose to the Steelers, emotionally that's draining. You also lost your next best cornerback in Marlon Humphreys for the year. Now you're without two corners. Harbaugh said after the game, the reason that he ended up going for two instead of going to overtime on a field goal or on an extra point was because he couldn't trust his defense to hold the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Now the Ravens have to go play a divisional game with two cornerbacks missing. I'm nervous for the Ravens defense this week. They finally started to look good. And now with their offense looking like trash and their defense not having their two best cornerbacks, I can't back them. I'm going to lay the points with Cleveland, especially because they lost 2 weeks ago to the Ravens.
We're speaking with Ariel Epstein, Yahoo Sports betting analyst, a.k.a. the prop queen. We'll get to her prop in the NBA in just a bit here. But real quickly, NFC East divisional showdown, Ariel, Cowboys and the Washington football team. You're confident in one unit finding its groove once again.
I am, and that's the Dallas Cowboys offense. They're going up against the Washington football team, who, yes, when they did have their best defensive player, Chase Young, you could say it was different. However, these teams, first off, combined for 3-0 over-under in divisional games. Second, I'm going with that Cowboys team total over 25.5 at minus 135, solely because when I look at Dak Prescott's numbers when facing a bottom 10 defense in regards to touchdowns allowed, he has gone over this number in all four of those games. The totals here, 43 points against Atlanta, 33 points in overtime against Vegas, 29 points against Tampa Bay, and 41 points against Philadelphia. All four numbers against teams bottom 10 in touchdowns allowed to quarterbacks in the air, passing touchdowns. Washington allows the most passing touchdowns to quarterbacks this season. Dak, he's going to go and put up about 2, 3, maybe even 4 touchdowns this week. I'm taking the team total over on the Cowboys.
Real quick here, Ariel, in about 20 seconds, your NBA plays in the Celtics-Lakers game. Which prop do you like?
I love for the Celtics all-star Jason Tatum to go over his 37.5 points, rebounds, and assists. The Lakers are bottom three in all three of those categories.
All right. She is Ariel Epstein, the prop queen, Yahoo Sports betting analyst here joining us on My Guys in the Desert. We appreciate you, Ariel. Best of luck tonight and in week 14 of the National Football League.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. How about that? She's hedging the happiness and going against the Baltimore Ravens, likes the Cleveland Browns. It is a tricky spot there with Cleveland having a bye week in between the two teams. You don't see that very often in the National Football League. On the other side, Johnny Avello, the DraftKings Sportsbook Director, joins us to talk about the early money that they've seen in week 14 of the National Football League. We'll get a peek behind the window at DK next here on My Guys in the Desert.
Listening to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Follow the Money is hitting the road this week. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard will be live from the new DraftKings Sportsbook at Foxwoods Casino Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you are in the area, come down and meet the guys and be sure to tune in every day from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. That's out there in Ledyard, Connecticut. The guys have touched down in Connecticut, so make sure to check them out tomorrow morning starting at 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Speaking of DraftKings, well, the commish from last month, but he is Johnny Avello joining us, the DraftKings Sportsbook Director here on My Guys in the Desert. Johnny, thank you for joining us here this afternoon. And I want to start off with the contest. I know you guys have the Football Survivor Pool, the Pick'em Series. How are those going as we have 5 weeks left in the regular season?
Yeah, for the Pick'em contest, which is all pros, 5 picks a week, you get to take a week off. That right now, the leader is at 73%.
Wow.
I think his record was 60. He's at 73%, but there was two guys behind him that were 70%, and then there were two guys behind them that were at 67%. So it's kind of tight up there at the top. I know last week the top selections were the Cowboys minus 4.5. That game went off a little higher than that. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins minus 2.5. 57% of the picks were on the Dolphins. That went off higher than 2.5. Yeah. That was our contest number. And then the Chargers were third, followed by the Bills. They're the ones that got burnt on that one last night. For the Survivor contest, there's 41 left at a 2,600. The Vikings were one of the top picks. They lost. Dolphins were one of the top picks. And the Eagles and Rams. A couple of picks that just maybe had two on them each. Seahawks, Chiefs, Cards, and Rams. So we're, hey, hats off to people still have, you know, 41 left this deep into the season.
Yeah, that's impressive stuff right there. It seems like it's easy picking games straight up every week, but it is harder than it looks. How did you guys do last night with the Patriots winning outright as 3-point underdogs and, of course, the game going under the total of 40?
Yeah, we made a few bucks on it, on the game itself, the total we lost on, and, of course, some of the props we lost on, the amount of passes that were going to be thrown. The players were all over that, knowing that the 55-mile-an-hour wind was going to negate the passing game, which it certainly did for the Patriots, didn't it?
Yeah, no, they had 2 for 3 for Mac Jones. Fewest passing completions we've seen in a victory since 2011. A really unorthodox style of game due to the weather. I'm looking at the Super Bowl odds that you guys have right now at DraftKings. The Buccaneers are the favorite at plus 550. The Chiefs are plus 650. You have the Patriots and Cardinals at 7-1 and the Packers at plus 750. Which team are you most liable to in this Super Bowl futures market down the stretch here?
You know, this Super Bowl future book looks a lot like last year's Super Bowl future. We had a hazard on both the Bucs and the Chiefs, and we have a hazard on both the Bucs and the Chiefs again. Now, there are some others in there that also have been played. Patriots are down now to 7. You could have had them at 30-35 just a few weeks back. The Packers are also taking in some money, and the Cowboys, who were a much higher price when people were getting them, are down to 13. So that's where our hazards are right now. And hey, we like the money coming into the pot. What you try to do is get that pot as big as you can, because when it's all said and done, Femi, there's only one winner.
Yeah, no, only one team can win here. I know Bucks Patriots is the Super Bowl matchup that everybody is talking about. Everyone's dreaming about it. I'm sure the TV networks are dreaming about a potential Bucks Patriots Super Bowl right now at ESPN's FPI. They say that's the most likely Super Bowl matchup. How would you guys make out if the Bucks were to meet the Patriots in a Super Bowl here in February?
It'd be a great game, but unfortunately, I don't want that matchup to happen. they're certainly right now, if they played, those two would be the two top choices. You know, Femi, we still have up the regular season wins. We adjust this every week. Right now, we got Tampa at 12.5 wins, and we've got New England at 11.5 wins. So, and both, you know, pretty good juice on both of those going over. I think Tampa's at -2.25, and Patriots are at -165. So, according to the win total, it looks like those teams are the ones that may be going in that direction. One other team that has a higher total than both of them is the Cardinals. They are 13.5.
Oh, my goodness. Who would have thought that heading into the season? The Arizona Cardinals.
That coming.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. They were supposed to be fourth place in the NFC West. We're speaking with Johnny Avello, the DraftKings Sportsbook Director here on My Guys in the Desert. Looking at the AFC number one seed market, first, do many people bet into these type of markets? I mean, you don't really see this one too often in the futures. The Patriots right now are plus 150 to be the number one seed. They have the Chiefs plus 250, the Titans at 3-1. What's this market looking like for you guys?
They do like to bet these markets because, you know, this thing has switched around quite a bit. And, you know, you could have got the Patriots at a higher price. And now you're looking at the Chiefs at the second choice at plus 250. And if you want to take some flyers in there, you got the Bills at 12-1. You've got the Ravens at 7-1. Even the Titans are 3-1. So they do like to bet that those markets. On the other side, you've got in the NFC, you've got the Cardinals at even money, followed by the Bucks at 2-1. Not a whole lot of value there with the Packers at 250. So most likely it's probably going to be one of those three.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention, Johnny, to week 14. Which games are seeing the action early on in the week, as the Lions have been out since Sunday evening?
And most of the games that they're seeing the heaviest actions are the games that are later on in the day. The Chargers-Giants. That game went from 7.5 to 10.5. So, you know, that one saw a lot of early action. Still seeing Chargers money today. The Bucks, although the game hasn't moved much, just from 3 to 3 minus 15, that game's being bet quite heavily. That's one of the three afternoon games. And then the Packers Bears game, that is the late game. That is seeing substantial action too. Now, that line has gone down a little from 12.5 to 11.5. There was some early Bears money, but there's also some Packers money coming back now.
Yeah, no, it seems like that Giants game with the news of Daniel Jones, we don't know how long he's going to be out at quarterback there. It could be Jake Fromm, who's never started an NFL game, so that could be bad news for Big Blue coming up later this Sunday afternoon. The Steelers and the Vikings is a Thursday night game, and it's interesting that's hovering around that key number of 3, seeing a lot of 3.5s or 3 minus 120. What are you guys seeing behind the window in this game that's going to be kicking off here in about 2 days?
There's no more hovering. We are at 3. We are at 3 flat, minus 110 both sides. We did open that game 4. We were sitting at 3.5 for a while, but the players will have no more 3.5s out there for us anyway. They got us all the way down to 3. Now, I don't know how much the money's going to come back on the Vikings. Maybe we get, some two-way at this number, but I don't know if there's anybody going to be rushing to the window to bet the Vikings.
Yeah, that's a team. I mean, they lost to the Detroit Lions, giving Dan Campbell his first win as an NFL head coach. Dallas and Washington really fascinates me because this game opened up Dallas -5 at DraftKings right now. The Cowboys down to 3.5-point favorites with a total of 48. Now, the Cowboys all season overall have been covering machines, but now Washington riding this 4-game win streak, and all of a sudden nobody wants anything to do with Dallas. What are you guys seeing behind the window?
Well, these two teams have been playing each other for a very, very long time. Even with, a division alignment and everything else has taken place, these two have been staples against playing against each other. And normally when these two played, it was always around a 3-point game, regardless of how the season was going. But we opened this one 4.5 Dallas because, they seem to be a better team. But this game is now crossed the 4 down to 3.5. And early the players like this Washington football team, who's playing much better. The defense is playing what the expectations were early in the season. So it's been Washington up to this point.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Do you think that line hits 3, Johnny?
Could. Wouldn't surprise me. It could, though.
Wow. Imagine that. Just even a month ago, thinking that Dallas would only be laying 3 at the Washington football team. Here, Johnny, about 30 seconds left. Saints and the Jets, not the sexiest matchup on paper, but we've seen a lot of line movement as the market is backing gangrene. What's your read on that?
Yeah, when it comes to sexy, this certainly isn't it. this game will probably handle the least amount of money this week. We're seeing early Jet money. I don't know when I say that, you probably shake your head. Why? But the Saints just aren't playing well, and the Jets aren't a good team. So, if you can get the Jets with over a field goal, and this is much higher than over a field goal, with 6.5 the opener, why not take a chance with them?
Yeah, why not? Or maybe just pass the game. Maybe that's an option
Or pass the game, exactly.
And the Jets. He is Johnny Avello, the DraftKings Sportsbook Director here, joining us on My Guys in the Desert. Appreciate you, Johnny, and best of luck the rest of the week.
Thank you, Femi. Same to you.
All right, appreciate that. On the other side, Adam Kramer, VSiN's own college football writer, will join us as we discuss all things college football playoff and, of course, Week 15, the Island Game, Army-Navy, one of the best rivalries in all of college football. We'll break it down on the other side. It is My Guys in the Desert on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Guys of the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now New York. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcasts. It is the final segment here of My Guys in the Desert, coming to you from the Circa Resort and Casino out in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe filling in for Stormy Bonantoni. She'll be back tomorrow afternoon. Well, joining us now on the show is VSiN's own college football writer, Adam Kramer. You can find him on Twitter at Kegs and Eggs. That's Kegs, the letter N, and eggs. Adam, appreciate you joining us here. Let's talk a little college football playoff. We'll talk some Army Navy. We'll get to that in just a bit. But first, I want to start with the playoff, and I want to start with the Cotton Bowl. Cincinnati taking on Alabama. First time we've seen a Group of Five team in the playoff. How much do you factor that into maybe, I don't know if it's pressure or maybe it's relief that they've finally made the playoff, but how much does that factor into your handicap when attacking this game between the Bearcats and the Crimson Tide?
Not a lot. Like, when I look at kind of the dissecting of this game, you know, Cincinnati's a game team. They played Georgia last year in the bowl game. They should have won that game, but physically held up. And to me, I'm not worried so much about the pressure. And sure, you're going up against a team that's pretty seasoned, but to be quite honest, you've got a lot of youth, and you've got a lot of new faces. And Nick Saban has kind of talked about the identity of the Alabama team trying to find it. And I agree with that. If you watch them, the ups and downs have been there. I think the biggest question for me is, you know, Cincinnati has NFL players. They've got NFL players at quarterback, at running back. They've got a great corner. Like, at key positions, they've got players that stack up and match up with Alabama. The issue is when you start to size up these rosters. I remember when Clemson played Alabama in the first time I went to that national championship game, and standing on the sidelines, like, the difference in size was staggering. Now, Clemson still overcame that in a lot of regard, but it's not the easiest thing to do. So physically, the backups and everything, everywhere else, that's where the difference, I think, is going to be with Cincinnati. And that's the part to me that's most concerning, is can they hang in for the long haul with an Alabama team physically that's probably going to overwhelm them, at least in a lot of places.
Yeah, no, this game right now, the total is 58. The line right now, Bama favored by 13.5 in the Cotton Bowl down there in Arlington, Texas, where I'm sure there'll be plenty of Crimson Tide fans. Do you think that Cincinnati can keep this game close, in your opinion? The line right now, 13.5, indicating that Bama is nearly two touchdowns better on a neutral. How do you see this one kind of playing out?
You know, we're going to dive into it a bit more, but right now, yeah, I think they can. Now, here's the problem. Alabama's a little Jekyll and Hyde. Like, I watched the Iron Bowl, and people will say, oh, the Iron Bowl, you know, Alabama, you know, should have lost that game. It's true. But if you watched LSU and you watched Arkansas, Alabama had issues defensively, and Alabama had issues with their offensive line. And all of a sudden, like, those issues went away, right? I mean, for a game, Alabama was pristine. Will that carry over? That's what we're gonna find out. So on the surface, yes, I think Cincinnati can hang. But as we dive deep into this, you like dive in position by position, obviously that opinion can change before we get there.
Yeah, real quick, do you think Cincinnati has any edges? I'm struggling to see where they might have the advantage on Alabama in any position group. Do you think there's a one that really stands out in your opinion?
No, not like overall, but they've got some dudes. Like, they've got some dudes, but collectively speaking, no, there's not an edge. Running back, I think it's pretty close, because that is a position for Alabama this year that's good, and we'll see. Obviously, Brian Robinson's been banged up. That hasn't helped them much. Getting him healthy, I think Alabama has the advantage pretty much across the gamut.
We're speaking with Adam Kramer, the VSiN's college football writer. Georgia and Michigan doing battle in the Orange Bowl. The Bulldogs, 7.5-point favorites with a total of 43.5. And it feels like all year long we've just been criminally underrating this Michigan team. I'm looking at my notes right now. 11-2 against the spread this season. That's best in the country. They're now getting more than a touchdown. Are we underrating them again in this spot in the Orange Bowl?
I hope not. Like, I'll tell you this. I haven't been underrating them. I thought they've been phenomenal outside of basically a half of play, right? I mean, that's it against Michigan State. They had a blip of about 12 minutes where things just kind of came undone, but they've been superb. And you talk about, like, this is a, and I mean it in the best possible way, this is a car crash of a football game, right? In terms of line play, defensive line play, if you're into that, like, this is a scout's dream. So I think the unique part about this is, while Michigan hasn't necessarily looked like the most dynamic offense, look, their OC just won the Broyles Award today, you know, for the best assistant in the country, Josh Gattis. And you look at how that group has evolved. Play calling against Ohio State was great. Play calling against Iowa was great, although I don't know. I think you and I could probably call the plays there, and they would have been fine. I think that offense has gotten a lot more potent, and I think they've got better skill position players than we think. And then, look, the biggest thing here on the flip side is, like, does Georgia have a quarterback controversy? I think they should. You got a five-star kid in JT Daniels that's sitting on the bench that, to me, coming into the season, clearly is the better option. Bennett looked shook. There's no other way to put it against Alabama. He looked shook. He's played well in spots, but I thought really We saw a much different play in the spotlight. I am curious to see over the course of the next couple of weeks how that conversation evolves, because I really do think that's something that Georgia has to consider.
Yeah, you almost wonder if we see kind of like a Tua Hurts situation that we saw in that national title game, where maybe Stetson Bennett gets benched and they go to JT Daniels, which it's a whole situation that could unfold. Obviously, they're favoring the game, so the market expects them to win the game there. I want to go back to Michigan, though. What is it that you think clicked for them this season? Because, I mean, Josh Gattis has been in place at Ann Arbor. We've been hearing about him for a few years now. Harbaugh obviously has been there for a while. Was it just time, that they needed time to kind of get this thing rolling? Or what was the difference this year as opposed to years past?
Stability at quarterback, I think, helps a lot. When you think of how much they've gone through QPs, they've played multiple QBs, but guess what? They're playing McNamara and one of the top quarterback recruits in the country, McCarthy, and both of them had assumed roles. One of them came in, sort of ran, was assigned the run plays, which is like classic old school Harbaugh, and the break just kind of worked. So, look, they've had injuries at wide receiver. They've got great, I think, a couple of things. Quarterback for one, and then these running backs are unbelievable. The line is really good. The running backs are great. This hasn't been, you know, Michigan hasn't had like that Lane Kiffin at Alabama evolution on offense, right? Like the whole makeup didn't suddenly change. I think they've gotten more creative. I think it's evolved a bit, sure, but this is still a Harbaugh coach team. I think when they do what they do really well, like Ohio State, like, let's be honest, they just ran it right over them. And when they can do that and they can physically just dominate you like they did, and then also rush the passer consistently like they have, they've got two huge, great ends. That's the formula. I think, to your point, kind of the original question, they just did it better, and they did it in the moments they absolutely had to, specifically Ohio State, right? Because without that, the narrative doesn't change. Think of how different things are now that they actually got over that, slayed the dragon and slayed it in such an emphatic way.
Yeah, no, they looked really impressive against Ohio State, and of course, the performance against Iowa in the Big Ten title game. Adam, we got a couple minutes left. I want to get your thoughts on the Army-Navy game here, but real quick here, I'm looking at the national titles futures market. Alabama's plus 120, Georgia plus 140, Michigan 7-1, Cincinnati 16-1. Do you see any possible value in betting into that national titles futures market as we approach the playoff on New Year's Eve?
Well, look, I'm still sitting on my Georgia 650 plus 650 ticket from before the season. I've been banging that drum all year long here at VSiN, and I'm just going to sit on it. I do think Michigan is pretty interesting, though, and it's really difficult to handicap momentum. It's not a thing that you really want to lean on, and I don't want to come on here and say, well, Michigan has the momentum, they're going to win, but there is something to be said about confidence and the way that they're trending, not just emotionally, but physically. So that's an interesting spot. I think Cincinnati would be a tough one to overcome. So to me personally, I think I was on Georgia a long time. I think they still have the talent, obviously, to win two football games and get another crack at Alabama. That game just kind of seemed to roll downhill. That's probably where I'd go. I think Michigan, though, is an interesting one, even with Georgia coming up and obviously being more than a touchdown dog.
All right, Adam, real quickly here, in about 30 seconds, Army-Navy, Army's 7.5-point favorites, total 34. The under is hitting 15 straight years. Are we just hammering the under, or is there value elsewhere?
You know, I kind of like Navy. Yes, I like the under, and that under, though, that's a grotesque under, but I like Navy. They've covered the spread well, really, over the past month plus. The record has been bad, but the schedule has been pretty brutal. When you look at Notre Dame and Cincinnati, even East Carolina, who they were really gaming against a team that I like. So I kind of like Navy in the points. And yeah, you're right. The under in this game, the clock's going to be moving the whole time. That feels pretty good as well.
And of course, Adam, you'll have a full preview on that game in Point Spread Weekly, the Week 15 edition here in college football. He is Adam Kramer, our VSiN college football writer. Adam, appreciate you joining us, bud.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. Well, the VSiN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you are betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value props. The guide drops December 13th. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, that wraps up the show here. Thank you to Adam Kramer, our college football writer here at VSiN. Thank you to Johnny Avello, the DraftKings Sportsbook Director. Thank you to Ariel Epstein, a.k.a. the Prop Queen, Yahoo Sportsbook Betting Analysis. And, of course, thank you to Trey Wingo, Caesar Sportsbook Ambassador. Coming up next, the Rush Hour with Danny Burke here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.